Hello and welcome to Oxtal on Tuesday the 4th of March 2025. My name is Jake and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you will hear a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen and read by Stephen Harness and Judith Piggott. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 6:43 and sunset is at 5:51. Before we start, here is some information on how to access Oxtalk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access Oxtalk online.
Notice to listeners of Oxtalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Oxtalk using Alexa. To listen to Oxtalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper. Then, to listen to Oxtalk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Oxtalk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Oxtalk and we will try to help.
A one-year-old girl has been awarded a Young Scientist degree by Oxford Brookes University. Mishka Seth received the award from the university's Baby Lab after taking part in a study to explore how babies learn different aspects of language. The research focuses on features such as rhythm, loudness, pitch, speed, and pauses, which are key for conveying emotions, attitudes, and understanding spoken language. The study is open to both monolingual and bilingual families and aims to better grasp how bilingualism may impact infants' ability to learn and use languages, rhythm, pitch and pause variation.
Oxfordshire County Council's headquarters is set to become a high-quality hotel as part of plans to revamp the West End of Oxford and boost the local economy. County Hall in Oxford City Centre will be sold as the council prepares to move to its new home at Speedwell House in spring 2027. Details of how much the council will gain from the sale, as well as the identity of the buyer, remain confidential, as final talks with the buyer are ongoing. The decision was rubber-stamped by Cabinet members at their meeting on Tuesday, the 25th of February 2025. A total of 19 bids were made for the repurposing of the building, including offices, science labs, hotels, residential, student accommodation, education, commercial use, and church or congregation space. Leader of the County Council, Liz Leffman, said, "These plans are incredibly exciting for Oxford and the ongoing transformation of the West End of the city. A huge amount of technical and professional work has gone into getting us to this stage, and it was a difficult choice for our officers to select a preferred bid. County Hall is in a prime location in one of the world's most famous cities, so we knew there would be widespread interest in the site. The bidder that has been selected is offering a very high quality and impressive future for the County Hall site that will complement and improve the whole area, as well as offering a significant boost to our local economy. The plans for the County Hall site will link all of the various regeneration schemes in the West End of the city and enable residents and visitors alike to access and enjoy the area around the castle site. The current building includes Old County Hall, which is a Grade II listed and dates back to 1841, and contains the council chamber where full council meetings are held and the coroner's court. These buildings are legally protected from any alterations, extensions, or demolitions, and the historical integrity and character of the building would need to be protected if any planning applications are put forward to Oxford City Council. Receipts from money raised from the sale of County Hall will help fund the extension and refurbishment of Speedwell House on Speedwell Street. The council aims for the new HQ to be net zero, with air source heat pumps included in the plans, and for the building to create a 20% biodiversity net gain. A new council chamber and a coroner's court will also be included in the new building. Councillor Liam Walker spoke earlier in the meeting, calling for County Hall to remain accessible to the public.
A historic brewery site in an Oxfordshire town has been converted into houses and gone up for sale as luxury new homes on the market. Brewhouse Yard, seated in a private courtyard in the heart of Wallingford, may look modern, but the site dates back to centuries. Wallingford's first brewery was established in 1740 in Goldsmith Lane by Edward Wells, surviving to the 20th century when it was taken over by Usher's Brewery in 1926. After brewing finished on the premises, it was used as a bottling plant, then a warehouse, until it finally closed in 1970. The Wells Brewery has now been bought and redeveloped by Kingerley Homes, who said, "Our main aim was to preserve the historic elements of the site and remain sympathetic to the surrounding listed buildings." On the market are 14 apartments and homes spread across two buildings on Goldsmiths Lane, one converted long barn. Find more information on Oxfordshire's agent Brecken and Brecken's dedicated website. The one- and two-bedroom apartments and homes retain historical features in the prime town centre location, blending old and new with the market town properties. Original beams and trusses and some of the Victorian building's walls have been retained to maintain the site's character.
Otters have been spotted in Oxfordshire and recorded by a wildlife enthusiast's trail camera, showing there is hope for polluted waterways. The elusive mammals were seen on the River Windrush, which winds through Whitney, a known conservation area for Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and Oxfordshire Wildlife Trust, BBOWT. The charity surveys for otters along the middle and lower reaches of the River Windrush from Tainton to Whitney and Whitney to Stanlake every 3 years, covering a total of 95 sections. Of these, 49 sections, 51%, were found to have conclusive evidence of otters such as sprains or scats. Lucy Stoddart, BBOWT's Mammal Project Field Officer, said, "Otters have been doing well in the area in recent years. However, sightings are rare due to their elusive nature and largely nocturnal and crepuscular habits. Otters are apex predators, living at the top of the aquatic food chain, and therefore their presence is an indicator of a healthy ecosystem, including enough prey. Along the River Windrush, otters seem to have a particular penchant for the American signal crayfish, helping to keep the numbers of this non-native species in check. Otters are highly charismatic and inquisitive animals, often appearing to play for the sheer fun of it, including sliding down banks and playing tag. If you manage to catch a glimpse of these delightful creatures, you're very lucky. It's not always been this way, however, as from the 1950s to the 1970s, otters suffered a catastrophic decline, disappearing from the majority of English waterways. This was largely attributed to the use of endocrine disrupting chemicals, EDC, which are chemicals known to interfere with a mammal's hormones. EDCs include pesticides, DDT, and dieldrin, and a group of industrial chemicals known as PCBs, which polluted the waterways. Otter populations were also faced with hunting and habitat destruction. Fortunately, the banning and restriction of EDCs in combination with other conservation legislation, localized reintroductions in the 1980s and 90s, and water quality improvements have enabled otter populations to rebound in recent years, demonstrating the importance of effective regulations, Ms. Stoddard said. Conservation efforts and social media campaigns also went a long way to popularizing otters as an adorable animal, making sightings of them even more exciting. Ms. Stoddard added, "There is still a long way to go in improving water quality in English watercourses, but it is hoped that cleaner water in the future will further enable otter populations to recover. There are many groups campaigning for better water quality, including Windrush Against Sewage Pollution, WASP, whose work we endorse."
Oxfordshire County Council is continuing to show its support for Ukrainians on the third anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The council was flying the Ukrainian flag outside County Hall to mark the occasion. It is also working with the Oxfordshire Migration Partnership to provide resources to keep Ukrainians safe and well during the ongoing conflict. Councillor Liz Leffman, leader of Oxfordshire County Council, said over the past 3 years, more than 2,800 Ukrainians have come to stay in the county to seek sanctuary. At the same time, our residents have continued to show their support and generosity by hosting Ukrainian guests under the Homes for Ukraine scheme. We stand together in solidarity with the people of Ukraine who have come here to seek safety. We are flying the Ukrainian flag outside County Hall to show our support, and we will continue to do that all that we can to provide a warm welcome and offer the necessary support for those seeking sanctuary in our county. The council is working to become a recognised council of sanctuary as awarded through the City of Sanctuary movement following a motion passed at full council in November 2023 and cabinet approval to apply for accreditation in June 2024.
The launch of Uber in Oxford has raised fears that it will result in a loss of trade for long-standing taxi firms in the city. Uber was granted a private hire operator license in Oxford after Oxford City Council said the licensing authority found there was no reason to refuse the application. Officially launching in Oxford yesterday, Wednesday the 26th of February, Uber said it was delighted to launch in one of UK's most iconic cities. The company said prior to the launch, more than 10,000 Uber users opened the app every week to try and book a trip with Uber and couldn't until now. But Amir Khan, manager of 001 Taxis Oxford, has concerns about the impact this will have on taxi firms already operating in the city. "The main concern is wherever they go, they flood the market with taxis," he told us. "They could be local taxis, but a lot of the time it's out-of-towners, which then impacts the local drivers who have been working in this area for a long period of time. The worry is the flooding of out-of-town vehicles, which will kill the trade for local drivers. The driver earnings will just diminish." Mr. Khan, whose firm has been operating in Oxford for 50 years, said he has concerns about vehicle standards dropping. "There's no check. The vehicle standards are not to the standard they are in Oxford. The vehicle drivers, the processes, are all different. The standards they will drop? Because in Oxford, we've got pretty good standards." In 2021, taxi and minicab drivers in Oxford protested when Uber launched a local cab trial with 001. Mr. Khan said, "We teamed up with them because they said it's all about the locals." Then about a year ago, they turned it off, and now they've come directly and taking on drivers themselves. In 2016, an operating license for Uber was declared void, but a spokesman for the company said at the time that it would not rule out reapplying in the future. A spokesperson for Oxford City Council said, "The company's application and premises were reviewed against the council's criteria, and licensing authority found no reason to refuse the application. The application was reviewed against the same criteria as all other private hire operators in the city. A new operator will give residents and visitors more options for moving around the city safely and conveniently." A spokesperson for Uber added, "Oxford is one of the UK's most iconic cities, so we are delighted to be launching today to provide new earning opportunities for local drivers, give passengers greater transport options, and support the local economy. Uber's industry-leading safety features will give passengers the ability to book safe trips to wherever they want to go, in particular the city's students and tourists. All Uber drivers have access to industry-leading workers' rights, such as holiday pay and a pension, as well as formal representation through GMB Union."
Sir Keir Starmer has paid a visit to the Oxford University College he attended as a student. The Prime Minister was in the city for a brief outing to St Edmund Hall, known among students and alumni as Teddy Hall. According to several sources, the British politician was visiting the college with family, with Sir Keir having been based at Teddy Hall when he studied in Oxford in the 1980s. The British Prime Minister posed with a group of students who were holding a flag and the college's emblem in a photograph which was snapped by the college porter. Back in 2022, Sir Keir was elected Honorary Fellow of St Edmund Hall after more than 35 years since he received the Bachelor of Civil Law, BCL, in 1986. Previously speaking about his time in Oxford, he said, "When I arrived at St Edmund Hall, I had a first-class degree from Leeds University behind me, but I was still not clear what path I should take next. My time at St Edmund Hall, an intense year studying for the Bachelor of Civil Law, BCL, confirmed me in my choice of pursuing a career as a human rights advocate, both here and in the UK and abroad. From then on, I did not look back." The Labour Party Prime Minister was elected to his role back in July 2024, following 14 years of Conservative Party rule. When Sir Keir became Prime Minister of the United Kingdom in July 2024, the college was quick to offer its congratulations. Professor Baroness Willis, Principal of St Edmund Hall, said at the time, "On behalf of the entire college community, I would like to offer a sincere congratulations to Sir Keir Starmer on becoming Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. We are deeply proud of all he has achieved as a distinguished alumnus of the Hall, and he will, I am sure, lead the country judiciously during these challenging times." A statement from the college added, "St Edmund Hall proudly extends its congratulations to Keir Starmer on becoming the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, as well as to Mel Stride and Nick Thomas Simmons on being re-elected to Parliament. Sir Keir is the first Orlerian to have held the office. Sir Keir has been the MP for Holborn and St Pancras since 2015 and was elected as leader of the Labour Party in April 2020. St Edmund Hall has been contacted for comment on the visit."
Former Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has said he is honoured to become an ambassador for a prostate cancer charity during a visit to Research Centre in Oxford. Mr Sunak will support Prostate Cancer Research's campaign to introduce a national screening programme for men at high risk of the disease. Mr Sunak met workers at the laboratories of British cancer diagnostics company Oxford Biodynamics, where they are working on a new blood test. The EpiSwitch PSE test can detect prostate cancer with 94% accuracy, which is a significant improvement on the most commonly used PSA test, prostate cancer research said. The former Conservative leader said he was honoured to support the charity's mission to revolutionise diagnosis and treatment. Mr. Sunak added, "Men tend to ignore pain, hoping it will go away rather than going to see the GP, and that's a part of the reason why prostate cancer is now the most commonly diagnosed cancer in males in the UK. We can do something about that. It is clear from a trial that I funded when I was in office that early detection saves lives. Catching the cancer early drastically improves survival rates. However, that survival rate drops by half if it is caught late. A targeted national screening program will help save many lives." During his visit last Thursday, the MP for Richmond and North Allerton added, "I hope my work as Ambassador for Prostate Cancer Research will encourage more men to be able to speak about their experience with prostate cancer and get a screening test which will hopefully prevent further needless deaths." Last month in the Commons, he pressed the government to consider increasing screenings for prostate cancer for high-risk groups. More than 9 out of 10 men who receive a positive EpiSwitch PSE result will have prostate cancer confirmed, said Ian Ross, Executive Chairman of Oxford Biodynamics. "This can significantly cut the number of expensive and unnecessary MRI scans and invasive prostate biopsies," he added. Oliver Kemp, Chief Executive of Prostate Cancer Research, said Mr. Sunak's ongoing support for our mission to revolutionise prostate cancer diagnosis and treatment is invaluable. He said, "Rishi's advocacy will help us drive forward innovative research, challenge health inequalities, and ensure that more lives are saved." The EpiSwitch test is an example of groundbreaking innovation that could transform early detection and improve outcomes, he said. Research that benefits patients aims to build a future where a prostate cancer diagnosis is no longer something to fear, he added. Mr. Ross added, "The support of Mr. Sunak and PCR is a powerful testament to the importance of early accurate prostate cancer detection through next generation tests."
BMW has frozen a £600 million investment to electrify the Mini plant in Oxford due to a slower than expected take up of electric vehicles, EVs. These plans to bring back an electric Mini hatch and start assembling the new car in the city were initially announced in September 2023, with production scheduled for 2026. With European Union EV sales dipping by 5.9% last year, BMW has opted to put this plan on hold due to uncertainties facing the industry. The spokesperson on behalf of the BMW Group said, "Plant Oxford is at the heart of Mini production, manufacturing and exporting a range of models which are sought after in the UK and around the world. However, given the uncertainties of facing the automotive industry, the BMW Group is currently reviewing the timing for reintroducing the battery electric Mini production in Oxford. Much of the investment is progressing with construction well underway to make the plant future ready. One of the projects is brand new state-of-the-art logistics facility. We have informed the UK government of our decision to review the timeline for reintroducing battery electric production in Oxford. As part of this decision, we agreed not to take the previously announced grant, but we remain in close dialogue about our future plans. The plant in Oxford builds combustion engine versions of the new three-door Mini and convertible while BMW imports the electric hatch and EV-only Aceman from China. It is understood that many workers at Plant Oxford are aware of the decision. A government spokesman said, "We recognise the global challenges car manufacturers face and have listened to their concerns by consulting on reinstating the 2030 EV deadline, whilst also protecting jobs. a decision supported by a majority of manufacturers who have been working towards this date and are on track to meet their zero emissions vehicle mandate targets. Last year saw record numbers of people making a supported switch to electric vehicles, with the UK leading Europe in sales and growth of more than a fifth on the previous year. We're investing over £2.3 billion to support industry and consumers make the switch, tapping into a multi-billion pound industry that will create high-paid jobs for decades to come, make the UK a clean energy superpower, and help deliver our plan for change. BMW agreed to redevelop the entire Cowley plant in 2000, demolishing much of the factory to create the new plant in Oxford factory. The location has been producing the new Mini built by BMW since May 2001 and is the largest industrial employer in Oxfordshire. Earlier this month, the company has increased its range of options for its model lineup. The choice of 9 exterior paint finishes, including Smoky Grey, British Racing Green and Chili Red, will be available for the Cooper, Convertible and Countryman.
A Shrek tribute band, who come from a swamp, are set to play a live music gig in Oxford. The Ogre Tones are heading to the Bullingdon on Cowley Road in April to play a special one-off show for fans of the film franchise. Shrek tells the story of an ogre who pairs with a talking donkey to rescue a princess, starring the voice cast of Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy and Cameron Diaz. With 4 films to date and a 5th confirmed to be on the way, the DreamWorks animation has proved to be a timeless hit with audiences of all ages. One of the most beloved aspects of the movies is their iconic soundtracks featuring hits such as All Star by Smash Mouth and Accidentally in Love by Counting Crows. The gig will be played at the Bullingdon on the Cowley Road with doors opening at 7 p.m. on Thursday the 3rd of April, while tickets are priced at £13.75.
Tributes have been paid to a joyful Oxford student after police found a body and set up a cordon over the weekend. Benedict, known as Ben, had last been seen in the city at the junction of Cripley Road and Cripley Place off Botley Road, West Oxford, at around 12:50 a.m. on January 26. Following a month-long search of Oxford's waterways, Thames Valley Police confirmed that a body believed to be Ben's had been found. This followed a strong police presence in the Iffley Lock area, which saw 6 police vehicles stationed on Mill Lane as well as a taped-off corridor with an officer standing guard. Tributes have since been paid to Ben, whose surname has not been disclosed by Thames Valley Police. Leila Mullan, Liberal Democrat MP for West Oxford and Abingdon, said, "Our whole community has been on tenterhooks since Ben's disappearance, with many volunteers giving their time to aid the search. I was so sorry to hear his body has now been found, and my thoughts are with his friends and family at this devastating time." Teresa Archer, chairwoman and search manager for Lowland Rescue Oxfordshire, said, "We are not able to comment on the details of any search, but as you know, we had been out many times over the last month searching for Ben. Our thoughts are with Ben's family at this most difficult time." Tributes also came in from Ben's friends at the University of Oxford, as well as locals. One tribute from Jane Hainsworth said, "I have been hoping that Ben would be found safe and well, and I am very sorry to hear this news. There was something so appealing about this young face and mop of curly red hair. Bless you, Ben, and much sympathy to your family and friends." Another tribute added, "I wasn't close to Ben, but I interacted with him regularly through the university's birdwatching society. He was always a cheerful presence, and I have learned so much about birds from him. Thank you, Ben, for your smile, good humour, impressive ability to spot Caspian gulls. You'll be sincerely missed." A family friend who has not been named said, "It's truly heartbreaking to hear about Ben's passing. He was a joyful, kind and energetic soul who had a special way of brightening every room he entered. As my son's childhood good friend, he also brought so much laughter and warmth into our lives. We will deeply miss him. The University of Oxford has been approached for comment.
A 3-year contract has been agreed between Oxford City Council and a print and mail company. FDM Document Solutions, a print mail and document management specialist, will supply the council's postal voting packs. Oxford City Council joins a list of more than 45 local authorities that rely on FDM Document Solutions for their document needs. The company will produce all postal vote statements, ballot paper envelopes, return envelopes, and outgoing envelopes. With 165,200 residents in the local authority area, FDM Document Solutions will provide documents for elections, by-elections, and the neighbourhood plan referendum. Ian Forster, Sales and Marketing Director for FDM Document Solutions, said, "This contract with Oxford City Council is testament to the approach taken by our team and also the expertise we have within electoral services. Having recently secured a contract with Buckinghamshire Council, we are pleased to add further public sector clients to our growing list. We have a very strong reputation within this space and will be doing more to reintroduce our position as a leading and trusted supplier to local authorities throughout 2025. The Oxfordshire County Council election takes place on the 1st of May, with postal ballot packs expected to be dispatched by Thursday, the 17th of April.
A 66-bedroom care home will be built within a large housing development outside Bicester. After the plans were approved, the home would provide both general and residential care and dementia care for elderly residents and would include gardens and a shop and a cinema. It will be built on land north of Anniversary Avenue within the Gravenhill development, which is still under construction. The proposal was approved at the Childwell District Council Planning Committee meeting on Thursday, February the 20th. Some concerns were raised about the lack of cycling routes from the development to the town centre. Claire Brenner, who spoke on behalf of the Bicester Bike Users Group and Gravenhill Residents Association, called for the plans to be deferred and amended to include a cycle path on the northwestern boundary, which would be better connected to Gravenhill residents to the town. She said if this was included, it would be possible to travel from Garth Park in the centre of the town all the way into Gravenhill Woods, entirely off-road on cycle paths. It would be an enormously missed opportunity for the whole of Bicester if we don't have this. She added there could be a fenced-off path along the boundary so that the cycle path was physically separate from the care home. This was after the officer's report noted the cycle path would compromise the privacy and security of the care home. Later in the meeting, the Principal Planning Officer, Andrew Thompson, noted additional cycle routes into the town could be included within the wider master plan for the Gravenhill development or in other schemes that come forward. Samuel Finlay, speaking on behalf of the applicant LNT, said the care home will offer an enhanced choice of care whilst helping meeting an ever-growing demand for residential care beds in the local area. He also said it would create around 60 local caring jobs once the building was full. Councillor Leslie Sibley asked about deferring the application due to the impact on East West Rail plans to close the London Road level crossing. The Principal Planning Officer said the Council would not support deferring the application. Councillors voted unanimously to approve the development. The site used to be home to Rodney House, which was demolished in 2016. Bicester Town Council and the Environment Agency had no objections, while the Oxfordshire County Council Highways and Thames Water raised no objections subject to conditions. A total of 2,100 homes are planned for Gravenhill.
Nadine Dorries has claimed that celebrities such as David and Victoria Beckham are turning the Cotswolds into a theme park. The former politician who lives in Gloucestershire was writing in her Mail Online column in reaction to reports that Oasis star Liam Gallagher was looking for a home nearby. Other celebrities, including Jeremy Clarkson, David and Victoria Beckham, Ellen DeGeneres, Amanda Holden, and Portia de Rossi, all now live in the Cotswolds too. DJ Calvin Harris and his wife, TV presenter Vic Hope, are the latest to move in, with the finishing touches being made to their country house. Miss Doris said, "Stop treating my beautiful Cotswolds like a theme park. Celebrities are too a penny here. I was in the pub just the other day eating lunch with a friend when I caught glimpse of a glamorous Amanda Holden striding through the bar modelling Max Mara. Not a single head turned to look. To me, the only surprise is there are any manor houses left for sale, or that the so-called stars want to come here in the first place." Despite her criticisms of some celebrities, the 67-year-old praised Mr. Clarkson and Blur's Alex James for being respected locally.
A charity barn dance took place in Oxford last weekend to support the people in Ukraine affected by the war. The event, organised by the Oxford Kharkiv Association, held at the St. Michael's Church Hall in Summertown on Saturday, aimed to raise funds for the Oxford Ukrainian charity CARP. CARP provides financial support for the repair of war-damaged villages in the Kharkiv region of Ukraine, as well as supplying essential fuel and equipment. Folk musicians from Oxfordshire, alongside Ukrainian folk dancers and singers, performed at the event. They have been learning a mix of traditional English and Ukrainian tunes for the evening, and a caller was present to direct the dances. The funds raised contribute to the providing new windows, doors and roofs for houses in villages some miles behind the front line. The Oxford Kharkiv Association is a voluntary group that aims to strengthen ties between Oxfordshire and the Kharkiv region, particularly in support of the people affected by war and during reconstruction and recovery phases. Ukraine was invaded by Russia on February 24, 2022. Earlier this year, Oxford City Council was awarded Local Authority of Sanctuary accreditation.
An Oxfordshire-based couple have launched an alcoholic ice cream minibar, said to be the UK's first. Elliot Smith, founder of Tipple and Snow, launched the business with his partner Jem Clack this month following a trip to Sicily, Italy, the birthplace of gelato, in 2023. It was during this seven-day trip, in which they had an ice cream every day, that they had the idea to transform their favourite alcoholic drinks into unique ice cream flavours. "We just got lost in it a bit, and we were sat down one night and thought, wouldn't it be cool if someone made alcoholic ice cream flavours?" he said. Mr. Smith, who works part-time as a veterinary surgeon, makes all of the ice cream by hand in his kitchen in Langford Bicester, while professional self-employed photographer Ms. Clack takes the pictures. "I've applied my passion for chemistry to infuse authentic spirits and liqueurs into premium ice cream," he said. The business officially launched on Monday the 10th of February for private hire. Since then, Mr. Smith says they have received an overwhelming response, with several weddings already booked for later this year. "I think we're having great success getting into festivals and markets because we're just so unique," he said.
Plans to build 450 homes on land southeast of Woodstock have been criticised by West Oxfordshire District Council. The site was previously ruled unsuitable by a government planning inspector, but has reappeared in the Charwell District Local Council plan. West Oxfordshire councillors say they believe placing new housing in this location could create significant challenges for the town and surrounding area. Councillor Hugo Ashton, Executive Member for Planning, said, "We would like to thank Charwell District Council for engaging with us on their proposals for their local plan, and overall we think it's a sound plan. While we recognise the need for new homes, they must be built in the right places, and we do have significant concerns about the proposal for homes to be built on the edge of Woodstock. A planning inspector has previously ruled that this site is unsuitable, and we share that view. Any new development must respect the character of Woodstock, protect the setting of the Blenheim Palace World Heritage Site, and ensure local services and infrastructure can cope. The council will be submitting a formal objection as part of Charwell District Council's consultation on its proposed local plan, which will set out how the district should grow over the coming years.
Pet owners have revealed four of the best dog-friendly pubs in Oxfordshire. There is no shortage of great watering holes across the county, with over 100 pubs in just Oxford alone. Whether it be a historic little spot off the beaten track or a sleek and modern bar, the county is well equipped for those looking for refreshment. Yet if travelling with a furry companion, it may be harder to find a good dog-friendly pub. The dog-friendly website has created a list of all the boozers in the county which allow our four-legged friends inside. Of these, we have collated a list of five based on the best reviews of these pet-welcoming Oxfordshire pubs. The Blue Boar in Goddard's Lane in Chipping Norton was a popular choice with multiple favourable ratings. Kevin Wick said, "My dog is absolutely the VIP customer every single time we go here." Jody Green added, "My dog is showered with love and affection when we take her to the Blue Boar. All the wonderful staff know her and spoil her with treats and cuddles. There's always a fresh bowl of water for all the dogs in various spots around the bar." The Maytime Inn in Astall, near Burford, is also well-liked, as Jill Armstrong said, "Fantastic service for dogs and humans." Falkland Arms on the Green in Great Tew also made the cut, as did the Barley Mow on Clifton Hampden Bridge in Abingdon.
Eight new flats will soon be coming to an Oxford suburb after plans were permitted. Oxford City Council's permitted Christopher Bright's scheme for the one-bed flats in Old Road, Headington. The application includes dropped curbs and access onto Coolidge Close, as well as private amenity space, bicycle parking and bin and cycle storage. One objection was received from the blog Headington Heritage. Planning officers permitted the scheme using delegated powers. The officers' report said officers have considered carefully all objections to these proposals. Officers have come to the view, for the detailed reasons set out in the officers' report, that objections do not amount individually or cumulatively to a reason for refusal, and that all the issues have been raised and have been adequately addressed by the relevant bodies consulted. In the application's planning statement, it said, "Each flat has one bedroom for two persons and contains open-plan lounge, kitchen, diner and a bathroom. Each also has a private amenity space in the form of balcony or terrace, as well as a further communal garden and more than the required provision. The flats are also proposed to be car-free."
For once, more positive, if smelly, news from Thames Water. Almost 3,000 monitors that provide real-time data on the health of the sewage network have been installed in Oxfordshire by Thames Water over the last 3 years as part of a £20 million investment programme. The UK's largest water company has installed more than 20,000 of these devices across the network, which alert teams to the blockages that could lead to pollution and flooding. This is part of Thames Water's efforts to improve the management of its wastewater network, enabling engineers, analysts and data experts to identify problems earlier and take faster action, meaning blockages can be tackled before they cause issues for customers or the environment. As part of a pilot scheme along Wealdstone Brook in London in 2023, the water company installed more than 1,000 monitors to gain greater insights into the patterns of blockages around the critical watercourse. This insight has led to more than 100 blockages being cleared along the brook, and the success of the scheme has paved the way for future installation strategies. Between March 2021 and 2024, Thames Water's monitoring network has located and removed more than 11,500 blockages across the entire region identified by these monitors. Oxfordshire has around 2,954 monitors contributing to the smart sewer system, and Thames Water is expected to install a further 31,000 monitors across its network by 2030. By using the data retrieved from the monitors, the company is also able to decipher which areas of its network need urgent upgrades and where improvements will be required in the future. Anna Boyles, Head of Environmental Performance at Thames Water, said, "At Thames Water, we are always looking at how we can use data and digital technology to improve the way we work and reduce the impact on our customers and the environment. Our smart sewer network is a major step forward in preventing blockages before they happen, and we are committed to expanding this work over the coming years. With 20,000 monitors already installed, we are excited to build on this progress. Our ambitious 5-year business plan will help us deliver key improvements for our customers, including the installation of 31,000 additional monitors by 2030. Thames Valley cleared around 52,000 blockages caused by sewer abuse in 2024. These are caused by items such as wet wipes, sanitary products, and cotton pads that do not break down. This can force raw sewage to back up drains, manholes, and spill into watercourses. The water company continues to encourage members of the public to only flush the 3 P's, pee, poo, and toilet paper."
A tennis club in North Oxford is joining a fast-growing trend by lodging plans for new paddle tennis courts. North Oxford Lawn Tennis Club in Banbury Road has submitted an application for 3 courts, including floodlights on an existing court. This comes as similar schemes have been submitted for paddle courts at Bicester Hotel Golf and Spa and the Oratory School in Woodcote. Paddle courts are also included in Hertford and Exeter College sports grounds redevelopment plans in Marston. Paddle is the fastest growing racket sport in the world, already very popular in Spain and Latin America. The game is quickly attracting new players around the globe. Paddle clubs are regularly opening in the UK, Germany, France, the Middle East and Australia, Canada and the United States. Paddle is a mix of tennis and squash and is counted according to the rules of tennis. The paddle court is approximately half of the tennis court and surrounded by all sides by glass and meshed panels. As with the tennis courts, the paddle court is divided by netting in 2 halves. It is played with tennis balls and special rackets designed for paddle. So far, no comments in support of or objection have been submitted to Oxford City Council for the North Oxford Lawn Tennis Club scheme. The facility currently has 10 grass and 9 hard tennis courts positioned around a clubhouse close to the centre of the site. In the scheme's planning statement, it said, "Paddle, or paddle tennis, is an extremely sociable sport, easy to play and learn unlike other racket sports such as tennis, squash or badminton. It's always played as doubles on a court which is purposely designed to have a transparent structure by combing wire mesh and glass. Paddle is played over net using carbon fibre bats and rackets and a tennis ball. The shorter racket handles make the game easier to learn for beginners, hence its wider appeal than traditional racket sports. The proposal to install 3 permanent paddle courts at North Oxford Lawn Tennis Club is a positive step forward for the club and the wider community. It complies with planning policies and has a minimal impact on the environment and supports the continued growth of paddle in the UK. It is recommended that the planning permission be granted for the development. The Lawn Tennis Association, which is the governing body for paddle in the UK, wants there to be a total of 1,000 paddle courts in place by 2026. The current number, as of 2023, stood at around 350.
Homeware chain, The Range, opened a new store in Oxford on Friday the 27th of February. The chain, which sells everyday essentials including cleaning, health and well-being, food and pet care, is opening stores in Oxford and Bicester. This follows the acquisition of Homebase Brand, and up to 70 stores last month. The new store in Oxford opened at Horsepath Driftway at the site of the former home base. The Bicester store opened on February the 21st at Launton Road Retail Park, replacing the former home base unit. In Bicester, the dog-friendly store's grand opening offered goodie bags for the first 50 people in the queue. There is also a range store in Banbury. Following previous announcements to launch 18 former home-based stores across the country as The Range Superstores, the retailer CDS Superstores, parent company of The Range and Wilko, announced three additional locations: Admiral Park Eastbourne, Morecambe and Oxford. The new Oxford store also features a garden centre by Homebase. Alex Simpkin, CEO of CDS Superstores, said, "We are fully committed to retaining the best of Homebase's heritage while introducing the broader product range and value that customers expect from us as The Range."
A Farringdon man is preparing for a charity skydive in memory of his dad and sister, who both died of cancer. Chris Perks will be jumping out of a plane on August 17th at Hinton Airfield near Brackley to raise money for Oxford-based Sobel House Hospice, which supported his sister, Georgie Perkins, and her family. He will be joined by four friends and family members and has so far raised £775 towards his £5,000 target. Mr. Perks said, "I made a promise to my sister that I would jump out of an aeroplane for charity, so here I am raising money to keep my word and go skydiving for charity."
A peace rally held on the eve of the third anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine saw hundreds of people turn out to support the cause. Gathering in Radcliffe Square, about 300 people attended the gathering, braving cold and blustery weather to show solidarity to Ukrainian refugees in the UK and those who remain in the country. February the 24th was the third anniversary of the conflict, which has taken hundreds of thousands of lives through unprovoked Russian aggression. A similar peaceful rally has been held every year on the date to maintain public awareness of the ongoing war and to continue support for Ukrainians who remain displaced in the UK for far longer than they originally intended. The first peace rally was in 2023 and saw a turnout of about 2,000 people. Organised by Justin Robinson, Sunday's event featured music, singing, stories, and reflections from people affected by the conflict. A message from the Lord Mayor of Oxford, Mike Rowley, who has previously attended rallies, was read out. He said, "I'm truly sorry I can't be there with you today. Oxford welcomes Ukrainian refugees, students and migrants, and we greatly appreciate your contribution to our city. Today, Ukraine stands on the front line of freedom in Europe and the world. The Ukrainian people need and deserve peace with justice. Oxford stands with you." Other organisations involved in putting the rally on include Oxford Brookes Ukrainian Society, Ukrainian Medical Charity, Ransom for Ukraine, and Connections Support. Mr. Robinson, who works with charities supporting Ukraine across Oxfordshire, gave a welcome speech at midday in the square, saying, "Today I am Ukrainian too. Welcoming Ukrainians and all other nationalities to the rally," he said, "3 years ago, the superpower, that is Russia, tried to wipe Ukraine off the map, completely destroyed the independent nation, identity, language, and even culture of Ukraine. It is not the first time Russia tried to do this. In the first days from 24th of February 2022, the world watched to see what you Ukrainians would do. Would Ukraine fight back?" He said it was the sacrifice of ordinary people who have resisted the Russian invasion. At the same time, millions of people were forced from their homes and needed help, he added. The sympathy of half the world is yours. He said that another kind of battle, feeding and protecting 8 million displaced people, was achieved through the collaboration of British and Ukrainian families. Mr. Robinson called on global players, including the UK, the US and Europe, to keep its nerve and remain united on the cause.
Store assistants at Aldi will receive a better-than-expected pay rise from this weekend, with hourly wages rising to at least £12.75, the new minimum rate, which increases to £14.05 within the M25, exceeds the real living wage set by the Living Wage Foundation in October and will take effect from Saturday, March the 1st. Store assistant pay will rise further to £13.66 nationally and £14.35 within the M25, based also on the length of service. Aldi has also committed to a further pay increase for store staff from September 25, taking its minimum rates of pay to store assistants to £12.85 per hour nationally and £14.16 per hour for those within the M25. Aldi continues to be the only supermarket to offer colleagues paid breaks, which is worth approximately £1,370 a year for the average store worker. Giles Hurley, Chief Executive Officer of Aldi UK and Ireland, said, "This latest increase recognises the important contribution that our colleagues make day in and day out and ensures they are rewarded fully for their contribution with industry-leading pay. Every member of Team Aldi plays an important role in providing the best products, services and value to the millions of shoppers that visit our stores." The news follows Aldi being named the UK's cheapest supermarket, which according to consumer champion Which, for the past 4 years running.
Older people in Oxfordshire will be supported to live independently at a series of information events. Residents are invited to learn more about living independently and preparing for potential care needs by taking part in activities throughout March. Oxfordshire County Council, in partnership with Age UK and Oxfordshire and Berkshire West NHS Integrated Care Board, will be joining digital cafe sessions to offer support with online skills. These sessions aim to help people to discover more about local organisations through the Live Well Oxfordshire directory. At the same events, the Council's Blue Badge team will be available to offer face-to-face support for people applying for disabled parking permits. They will assist with the assessment and, if approved, will take payment and submit the badge for printing. Residents hoping to apply for a blue badge will need to bring proof of identity and address, any relevant medical documents, and £10 cash or chequebook for the administration fee. Councillor Tim Bearder, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Adult Social Care, said, "Our Oxfordshire Way vision looks to enable people to live well and independently within their own communities. A large part of that is supporting people to find groups in their local area to help people feel connected and active." He added, "Residents who have their own disabled parking badge can use it in any vehicle they are travelling in, from driving themselves to being a passenger in a private vehicle or community bus. The badge gives them real flexibility and independence to choose the best solution for them." The Council's Live Well Oxfordshire champions will be on hand to help residents use the directory. Alongside them will be community link workers for Age UK Oxfordshire, helping residents to tap into local support and offering further advice on the services they provide. The in-person sessions are taking place at the same time as established digital cafes run by the local NHS to support people to better understand and use the NHS app. They will take place in Westgate Library from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on the 3rd of March, Cowley Library from 10 a.m. to midday on the 17th of March, Farringdon Whitehorse Surgery from 10 a.m. to midday on the 20th of March, and the Health Centre in Wantage from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on the 28th of March. The Blue Badge team will not be attending the Wantage session. There will also be an online webinar designed to help residents to understand what support is available and what to plan for in the future at 7 p.m. on the 11th of March. Hosted by Surrey County Council and Age UK Surrey, people can book their place on the Age UK Surrey website.
Thames Valley Air Ambulance has been presented with 5 bespoke critical care cars. The Skoda Kodiaq vehicles were donated by the HELP appeal, making it the largest number of critical care cars the organisation has funded for any ambulance charity. It brings the total number of cars funded by the HELP appeal across the country to more than 30. The vehicles allow Thames Valley Air Ambulance to rotate cars through the community, having up to 4 operational at any time. Carrying the same equipment and drugs as the aircraft, the new cars have a range of modifications based on the need of paramedic and doctor crews. These include retractable boot shelving that fits kit bags precisely and can be pulled out for easy access, a powerful white light to help crews easily locate addresses, and a new storage system for oxygen cylinders. Amanda McLean, Chief Executive Officer at Thames Valley Air Ambulance, said, "This incredible gift of over £330,000 from the HELP appeal has allowed us to buy 5 vehicles, each fitted out to allow us to quickly bring the highest level of critical care to our community. In 2024, our cars were called out 2,595 times."
A family-friendly show featuring storytelling, physical comedy and live music, which is coming to East Oxford, will give children the chance to get up on stage. The Story Forge, Make Your Own Myth, will be performed at Pegasus Theatre in Magdalen Road on the 26th of April. The interactive show is a collaboration between the Rubbish Shakespeare Company and the Silly History Boys. It involves 2 history professors and a live musician creating new tales based on audience input, ensuring a unique experience for each destination on their tour. It was developed in response to a lack of new stories for children and uses a flexible scripted framework. While the storyline is inspired by the ancient classics to give audiences a recognisable starting point, each show allows children to make original stories. The performances on the 26th of April will take place at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m.
Alice Hopkins claimed a long jump gold in what became an Oxfordshire battle for the title at the UK Athletics Indoor Championships, writes Stuart Weir. Oxford City Athletics Club's Hopkins, who is from Tame, beat Kidlington-born Jade O'Dowda, her former training partner, at the Utility Arena in Birmingham. O'Dowda took the lead with 6.13 metres, which Hopkins countered with 6.25 metres. Jumps of 6.4 and 6.43 saw O'Dowda in front again, before Hopkins won the title with a 6.59 leap. Hopkins, who trains at Brunel University, where she is coached by Linford Christie, said, "Jumping a personal best of 6.59 here is fantastic. It has been a long time coming. The crowd was amazing. Getting my claps going helped me so much. It took the pressure off knowing we had all 6 jumps, as there were only 8 of us. To jump an outright personal best is so positive." Hopkins is now aiming to reach the World Athletics Championship in Tokyo in September. O'Dowda, who competes in the heptathlon, is targeting the European Athletics Indoor Championships in the Netherlands next month. She was pleased with her 6.43 metres jump, an indoor personal best, but frustrated with two fouls which looked to be good jumps. Elsewhere, Ben Ince, Oxford City, was second in his heat of the 60-metre hurdles in a time of 8.31 seconds. However, only heat winners made the final.
More buses will now be available for people travelling to and from the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford. Pullums has taken over the H2 service, previously run by Stagecoach, with support from Oxfordshire County Council. The bus and coach operator has changed the timetable, increasing the frequency of buses on the route. Buses now run every 30 minutes between Witney, Aynsham, Summertown and the hospital from Monday to Saturday, with four journeys in each direction on Sundays. The timetable has also been extended to include additional early morning and late evening journeys to and from Carterton. Weekday journeys now also serve Oxford Brookes University's Headington campus with stops on Gypsy Lane. Alex Chutter, Area Director of Pullum, said, "This is fantastic news for bus users and the communities on the route, and particularly those who need to visit the John Radcliffe Hospital, whether for work, to visit loved ones, or for medical appointments. Providing improved connectivity to the John Radcliffe Hospital is a key area of focus for our business currently, and we're proud to be able to announce this latest improvement. We are grateful to Oxfordshire County Council for its support to ensure we could take on and enhance this vital service."
A conservation worker has said she never gets bored of the work she does. Charlotte Carmarley volunteers at Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and Oxfordshire Wildlife Trust at Finnemere Wood near Bicester. Miss Carmarley started her journey with the Trust in 2010 as a volunteer and later became a conservation trainee. She said, "I was asked recently whether I get bored with the work in the woods, and the answer is never, not once in 12 years. Spending her early years in Bangladesh and Kenya, Miss Carmarley was exposed to some terrifying experiences, such as cockroaches flying erratically and becoming entangled in my hair, and trembling in a tent as she listened to elephants trampling and hyenas yelling outside. She said, "I have great respect for and interest in all things natural, but I am done with the adrenaline and will always choose the British countryside, which brings calm to my life." Ms. Carmarley likened her previous job as a district nurse to her current role, saying, "Once tending to the chronically ill in the comfort of their own homes, now caring for an ancient woodland and an eclectic group of volunteers." Not dissimilar occupations, the recipients of both require support, encouragement, nurture, cups of tea and maybe even a slice of cake. She said her favourite species in Finnmore is the wood anemone, describing it as a delicate star-shaped flower with white pinkish petals. She also enjoys scything, an activity she describes as peaceful, mindful and satisfying. Miss Camarley said, "It's a peaceful, mindful and satisfying activity that has been practiced for centuries and still has a prominent place in the management of grass. It beats machines every time." When not working, she enjoys swimming in rivers, lakes and seas and reading crime fiction novels. She said that the viewpoint from the water is breathtaking. Wildlife is seen at another level, a swallow swooping and diving after insects and kingfisher darting along the riverbank, like a grass snake swimming across the width of the river. Miss Carmarley leads the Finnmere Volunteer Work Party, a group set in the autumn of 2013. She said, "The group was set up in the autumn of 2013 and has gone from strength to strength. My days in Finnmere Wood, with the companionship of my fellow woodland workers, are just the best days. More than 1,700 volunteers help Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and Oxfordshire Wildlife Trust towards its vision of more nature everywhere, on our nature reserves, at our visitor centres and education centres, in our offices and more."
A town in West Oxfordshire has been named the sexiest in England. Love Honey is the UK's most popular online shop for buying adult sex toys and lingerie. It has analysed sales data from across the UK and arrived at the conclusion that Carterton is the sexiest town in the country. RAF Bryce Norton, the biggest Royal Air Force station in the UK, has a Carterton postcode. Love Honey's sex map has used site data from 2024 to establish which regions, towns and cities are investing the most in sexual wellness, weighted against their population. In England, Carterton took the top spot for the sexiest in the country.
Oxford United women were held to a 1-1 draw away at Lewes. Ellie May Richardson gave United the lead on the counter-attack as she lifted her shot over Emily Moore in the Lewes goal shortly before half an hour had been played. Richardson then took a knock on the ankle and was replaced by Taomi Oliver a few minutes before half-term time. The Ewes were forced to another change at the break, but as Lucy Trinder replaced Izzy Bryant, but still had chances through Jamie Gotch and Zoe Creaney to extend the lead. The home side grabbed an equaliser, though, with quarter of an hour left on the clock as Sarah Harvey scrambled in following a corner. United are fourth in the Southern Premier Division.
We will conclude this programme with a poem, read by David Brassington.
The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door, "only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here for evermore. And the silken sad uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door, darkness there, and nothing more." Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there, wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore." This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore." Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping somewhat louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see, then, what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more." Open here I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore, "Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou," I said, "art sure no craven, ghastly grim and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much I marvelled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther then he uttered, not a feather then he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, "Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said I, "what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master whose unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore, of never, nevermore." But the raven still beguiling all my fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then, upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking "Nevermore." This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing, to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining, on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, ah, nevermore. Then, methought, the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer, swung by seraphim, whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. "Wretch," I cried, "thy God hath lent thee, by these angels he hath sent thee, respite, respite and nepenthe, from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, O quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent, or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate, yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, tell me, I implore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden, whom the angels name Lenore. Clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend," I shrieked, upstarting. "Get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. leave my loneliness unbroken, quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, still is sitting, on the pallid bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Oxtalk, please telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. That's 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspaper skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.